Hey, welcome to the Rookie Preacher Podcast. We are your hosts, Brandon Kelly
and Joe Hoagland, and our goal is to help you preach and lead better.
Hey, we are so excited that you are here with us on episode 4 of the Rookie Preacher Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the title of what we're talking about is Beyond the Words, 6 Ways to Enhance Your Delivery. So in the past, we've talked about sermon preparation and things like that, even how to preach and lead in a post-Christian culture, which is what we find ourselves in. Today, we're going to be taking kind of a different approach to what we're talking about, in that we are not going to be talking about how to prepare a sermon, but we're going to be talking about how to deliver a sermon. We're going to talk about 6 ways to really enhance the way you deliver your message. So, Joe, what is the first way that we're enhancing our delivery with?
First, we're going to look at pitch, because, you know, pitch is important. And when we look at, you know,
you mean like a baseball pitcher, or like we're going to throw the ball at somebody, or what?
Well, with the All-Star game being tonight, that is kind of relevant. But but we're actually talking about high and low vocal, you know, inflections here. You know, are you going to, you know, where's your voice at? You know, because no one likes a monotone delivery, you know, and that's kind of, again, like beyond the words, it's important. You know, you could have the greatest manuscript of all time, but if you deliver it with the same pitch and you're in the middle there somewhere, just droning on like this about whatever, you know, no one's going to realize that your manuscript was the greatest thing ever unless they read it later. So when your voice is,
and if they can get your voice out of their head,
exactly. You know, that's an important thing when we look at going beyond the words on the page. You know, we're trying to not be monotone. You know, whatever that looks like. You know, take it out of the center and experiment with your voice a little bit. So how do you do that specifically, Brandon? Like, how have you tried to work on that throughout your preaching in specific ways?
Well, I can remember my first sermon, the delivery. I think the content was good, but the delivery was subpar, to say the least. I think with pitch, it's so important to be able to be intentional about this, because, you know, a lot of times, I don't know why, but there's this like voice that preachers get into when they start preaching. Like, it's totally different from how they talk. Mm-hmm. And so they get into their preacher voice, and maybe they have to talk like this because they want to have the, you know, the really old school golden voice preacher, and they feel like they've got to do that. And so they stay in that voice the whole time. And it almost feels like you're yelling at the congregation and the people who are listening to you. They feel like they're being yelled at. So
speaking of preacher voices, you know,
yeah,
I've known preachers who use their preacher voices to make points in real life. I'm just like, stop preaching to me. I mean, you're using your preacher voice.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes somebody's monotone in that they're too loud with their voice. And we're going to get to volume in a minute, but pitch. Okay. So what is your natural voice? Figure that out first. And then to me, it's being able to master your pitch is to be able to know when you want to emphasize something. So typically, if I'm going to get higher with my pitch, then I'm getting a little bit more excited about something. And if I'm getting lower, maybe I'm getting a little bit more authoritative with something. So I guess for me, it's knowing when I'm using a higher pitch and knowing when I'm using a lower pitch and what's the purpose in that. Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest principle in this is to be intentional with what you're doing, because you need to be intentional, right?
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, well, I've struggled with monotone. Like, I still struggle with it, honestly. Like, it's something I'm still working on, because just, like, you're talking about natural voice. My natural voice is pretty monotone. You know, people know me, know that my voice is pretty monotone. So when I get up to preach, I try to naturally fight against that inclination. But yeah, like what you're saying about don't overuse pitch either. Like, you know, don't start getting higher when you're not making a point, you know, because I've seen people do that and it doesn't go anywhere and then it kind of just falls off and you lose momentum or you get lower and maybe, you know, sometimes that isn't going somewhere if you're not, like you said, being trying to be authoritative or maybe even you could go lower to be soothing in some instances, I think. But yeah, you know, use, like you're saying, use pitch, use it like intentionally, you know what you're trying to do and plan that out when you're writing your sermon. I mean, if you're starting out, when I first started out, I wrote like change pitch here in my actual notes to remind me about that. I don't do that anymore. It'd be probably more distracting than anything, but yeah, I did that. And then I can remember kind of, you know, that what I wanted to do there with my voice and pitch wise. So yeah, I think that's important. What you're saying, be intentional about your pitch, whatever that looks like for what you're doing.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, we've talked about this in the past, but I mean, I go through my sermon 6 times before I actually preach it on Sunday. So, you know, I'm tweaking those things. I'm thinking about these things when I'm going through it.
Mm-hmm. And as we both talked about, we record ourselves. Do you record your whole sermon? I think you said, and I record parts of it so we can hear like what we're doing with pitch. And then we can think, oh, I'd rather do that here. You know, that might work better here. So I think, practicing it, like you said, and also recording it before you even preach are two vital things when we're talking about pitch itself.
Yeah, a good trick that I do. I record it, but I don't actually go back and listen to it. But what I do is I've got my mic into my computer, and with using GarageBand, I have a Mac. I can use GarageBand, and I can listen to my voice input through the microphone into my headphones. And so I can get a very rich feedback of like what I'm sounding like coming through a microphone. So that's really a big thing for me to be able to know, okay, how am I sounding? Am I being lower here? Am I being higher here? Do I need to be? And so I'm just kind of intuitively going through that in my mind while I'm going through these sermons before I preach it. So I kind of know where I want to go with it.
Yeah.
So that's number one, pitch, high, low, be intentional. Don't just use and abuse it, but be intentional. So if you want to make a point, make sure you consider what kind of pitch you want your voice in when you make that point, or when you bring that point home, be intentional with it. Number two is voice volume. So Joe, what is that? Like, obviously it's high or, you know, loud or soft. Mm. What's the effectiveness? What's the point in doing that? Cause that's kind of, it kind of goes with, being monotone as well, because like what I said, some pastors will, they get in their preacher voice, so they're kind of like lower or higher, whatever it is, but they're always loud, like
in your face,
super loud. Yeah, it's like kind of like, whoa dude, chill out.
Yeah,
so what has been your experience, and what have you done to utilize that to enhance your delivery?
With this, just like pitch, I used to actually write that into my outline too. Get louder here, get softer here. I know you were telling me earlier and talk about this all the time, but be softer to draw the audience in, you know, whisper. And you make that point, which is good, I think, you know, to people to lean in. And you can do that with your voice. You can make people feel different ways with your voice. You know, when you're getting, if you start off here and you're building to a point and you get louder, you know, people realize, oh, maybe what he's saying there is important, or maybe what he's doing there is important to this message. And, you know, I always try to build with, you know, points I'm making, you know, stuff that I really want to stick out, what I've boiled down as my truth for the sermon and things like that, you know. And yeah, but, you know, volume is very important. You know, just like pitch, you don't want to stay at the same volume the whole time, because that's another way to be monotone. That's another way to be boring, really. If that's soft, medium, or loud, you know, try to mix in the three different kinds and do it, again, intentionally. Don't just say I'm going to build in volume here, but it's not building to a certain thing, or I'm going to lessen the volume here, but it's not, you know, it's not actually going to draw you into anything. You know, that I think that's important as well.
Absolutely. I mean, think about when you are in a room full of people and, you know, everybody's talking, they're at their like middle voice, right? They're just talking, they're having conversations. What happens when you're near someone and they lean in and somebody starts whispering something? You naturally want to lean in. Mm-hmm. Like you naturally want to do that. Or on the contrary, when there's a group of people and someone starts yelling, right?
Like everyone turns and looks.
They're like, what is going on? Right? And so that's not to say that we have to yell at people, but the principle is the same, that if you're in your middle voice most of the time, but then you want to emphasize something, then a great way to do that is to whisper, because people will lean in, or it's to get louder because they're going to get, it depends on what emotion I think you want to draw out in the point, you know? I mean, if you want people to get excited about it, then you get a little bit louder, right? But if you want people to kind of like more of a reflectionary, I think is what it would be, you'll kind of get softer. Or I've done this where it's maybe an uncomfortable thing where I'm saying something about some kind of aspect about life, and it's maybe a little bit uncomfortable to whisper it. I think it's just useful. I think it's just a good communication thing for us to do, is to be intentional about how loud we are at what points, but not to just do it flippantly. Again, I think a lot of this stuff is going to boil down to us being intentional about these things and to mix it up. So, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you've never whispered from, you know, in the middle of your sermon, I would take one of the things that you're going to emphasize this Sunday, and instead of getting loud about it, whisper it and see how many people lean in and they're like, wow. You know, I guess if you're somebody who's never gets loud, which maybe you are, you're not yelling at people, but you're just getting a little bit louder so that people can hear that there is life in your voice.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's something huge. One of the biggest things for this, all this, is going to be intentional with these things.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, voice pitch being high or low. Number two, volume being loud or soft or middle. Number three, is giving variety to the voice in which you use. So what I mean by that is using a different voice than your own. So Joe, how would you say to use that? Because that's kind of probably a unique idea for most of us to consider. Where is it that we would use a different, whole nother voice?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my daughter, she loves Elmo. I don't know that I would do that. Maybe I would if I were telling a story about my daughter, like in Elmo. I don't know. So maybe I just answered that. But you know, how else would you use that?
Story mainly. So like when the one way I mainly think I do this, if I'm telling a story and I'm representing God's voice, you know, I'll speak it, you know, really low, because I think that's what people represent with God. And I'm not. I mean, someone might say, "Hey, that's disrespectful," but I think people get the point. You know, if you're saying, well, you know, it's just adding some variety there to going out of character, your own character, into someone else's character. You gotta have a different voice for that, and you know, whatever that looks like. And so I think that's important, because if you're trying to represent someone in a story or an illustration, maybe try to use their voice, because then people will say, oh, that's not him up there, that's this person, for a couple of seconds there, and your story will become more effective in how it's reaching the people out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I love preaching through, you know, the gospel narratives and being able to impersonate and interact with the characters who are in the situation, you know, to be able to say, to have some I think sometimes we just read the text and we leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose so much of the emotion and of the creative, the potential for creativity in just kind of thinking, what would the situation be like? How would the disciples respond to what Jesus said?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, if you're going through the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus says, you know, turn the other cheek when someone hits you, like it's okay to stop and be like, imagine what the disciples would be saying, and then to impersonate what you think would, you know, be one of their voices. You know, like maybe John's like this very eloquent guy, you know, he was the most, he was Jesus' favorite. You know, you never know. I don't know. I mean, obviously they're Jewish and they probably don't have an accent like that, but you know, it could be a country hick, you know, one of them could, if you wanted to. It's okay to have a little bit of creativity in the narratives and just kind of give it some life.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Speaking of that scripture and life, I cannot stand when I'm listening to a preacher and they're like all dramatic with their words and they get to the scripture and they just go, you know, it's just monotone. Like I'm just running through this just because I have to say the scripture and now I'm back to my dramatic words, you know?
Absolutely.
Like put some life into that. That's God's word right there. I mean, seriously.
Preach, brother. Preach. I totally agree. And, you know, I think when we decide to say, hey, I've thought about this, they may be saying it this way or you know, taking yourself out of the situation and just kind of get, one of my biggest pet peeves, right, is listening to an audio sermon or not an audio sermon, an audio Bible and listening to how they speak it. It's so boring.
Yeah.
Like so boring because it's the same guy talking, and generally speaking, he's like this very, you know, he's got this golden
distinguished voice.
Yeah. He's like perfect. And it's like, you're annoying. But with that, it's read very much like you would just read something. Like it's not, especially in the narratives, it's not like bringing to life the text. And maybe I'm just not reading the right audio Bible, and maybe that's sin for me to say that, but I don't think it is. But I think being creative, again, this is something you have to be intentional about. You know, don't just change your voice randomly, you know, throughout your message, but you know, have a little fun with it. It's okay, pastors, to have fun when you preach. It is. And your congregation will have fun too. It doesn't have to be so serious, you know. We don't just have to just, we are preaching and this is about it. So, all right, number one, pitch. Number two, volume. Number three, voice variation. Number four, Joe, what is number four?
Number four is tempo. And, you know, that's, if you don't know that term, that's how fast or slow you're going. And, again, this can be a very effective tool for our voice because, you know, when we're going slow, people might hang on to the next word. Now, you probably wouldn't want to do it like that, but you know, you're kind of getting the point there. And if you start going fast, then people might start getting the excitement and they might think, well, what's really coming here? And that you're building the momentum and you're getting excited and they're getting excited and you're saying, you know, so that's important. Our tempo is very important. And to vary the tempo, again, because if you're going the same tempo, that's another way to be monotone because you're just going the same tempo the whole time and you might lose some effect there. But, you know, they actually say, people have always told me when I'm preaching, not lately, but when I started, that I talk too fast. And I mean, I kind of see that, but they also say that people will understand you more if you're talking fast. You shouldn't talk slow when you're preaching because people miss the words. That's actually, you know, scientific, look it up. The faster you talk, the more words people are hearing, the more they're taking in. So when you're talking, because
with really, that, our brains can process so much, so many more words than we can speak at the rate. So that's absolutely right. I mean, if I were talking as fast as I can, you can understand what I'm saying, but your brain can understand much more quickly the words that I'm saying than I can even speak them.
I mean, we all had the teacher, professor, who droned on about philosophy.
Or calculus. You know,
calculus, you know, and they talked so slow. You know, and it would have just been better if they would have just talked a little faster. You know, maybe we would have understood calculus a little better if they would have talked a little faster.
Yeah, and I think this goes, I mean, these are all kind of interconnected as far as with the voice, because numbers one through four are all with the voice. When you get a little bit higher of a pitch, get a little bit higher of a volume, and you might keep your same voice, but you raise that tempo. Those are all three working together, and it's telling people this is something that's important. He's really excited about this. Like, this is like really something important, right? I mean, just again, it's just being intentional.
Yeah.
When would you say it's good to use a slower tempo?
Like specific example. I don't know.
Like, is it just for making a point, or, I mean, and I guess tempo with this, you could also talk about dramatic pauses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, leaving people on a little bit. Silence is okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you're preaching. That was good, right? Like, that was just a good dramatic pause. Like, make people think. Like, where did they go? Did they just disappear? I think a lot of these, when you intentionally vary these things, one of the best times to do it is when you're getting to a point, right? And you're trying to make a point, or when you're building up to a point, because you want to make those things memorable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And a way to do that is to raise the tempo, lower the tempo, whatever it may be.
Yep.
So those are the four voice things, pitch, volume, using a different voice, even tempo. Number five is something that many people may have as far as distracting mannerisms, but these can actually be used for a benefit in our preaching, in our delivery. Number five is gestures.
Hmm.
So what do we mean by that, Joe? Gestures.
Well, anything you do with your hands. And again, that could be a negative thing. Like, I know you were at this conference, Catalyst conference that we both went to, and Craig Rochelle said when he first started out, his wife said he kept moving a box with his hands. And you can't see me right now because I'm only on audio, but visualize some guy with a box in front of him moving it to the left. Moving it to the right. And that's what Craig Rochelle used to do, apparently. And his wife told him, you can't do that anymore. You're just moving a box around the stage. And so
put the box down, I think is what she said.
right. Yeah. So, you know, even the best, like Craig Rochelle, struggle with awkward mannerisms. But yeah, anything you do with your hands or even like, I guess, your whole body, really, we'll get to moving later, but like I used to shift the weight on my heels a lot when I preached, and I'd sway back and forth. Mm-hmm. And those are all negative things, but you know, some things you can do to add impact is maybe point when you're making a point, or you know, put your hands out to draw in people, or you know, some things that you just intentionally need to do because or you know, even like avoiding keeping your hands on your side or in your pockets, but actually adding some life to your gestures. I think that's important.
Yeah. I think when I first started to realize I had a mannerism, I would always put my hands together and I would mess with my ring. Like I would just, mm-hmm. I would just move my ring around, a ton. And it would just be my, like, kind of like me having my hands together. Yeah. Just because that felt like, what do I do with my hands? Right. Like, that's probably something that we've all asked ourselves. What do I do with my hands while I'm talking in front of people? A lot of times actually lately, and this is why I highly recommend you watch yourself preach. If you can get video of yourself, even if it's just a clip, you can see your mannerisms if you have any. A lot of times lately I've been kind of having my hands to my side, and then I'll utilize gestures for specific things, but I won't always be doing that, because if you're always making gestures, if you're always doing that, then it takes away the impact that a gesture could have.
Yeah.
When you are doing something intentional, like, you could talk about something happening and it moved to some other place, and you could do that with your hands. You can kind of like show it being pushed away or pulling in, or, you know, if it's you're talking about the the prodigal son, you know, when the father's running to embrace his son, you know, you could kind of make a hugging gesture with your hands. It's just all to make it come to life. And again, it's being intentional with the gestures that you're making. It's not just always having your hands moving. It's one of the things that make it distracting when you watch yourself. And if you aren't able to watch yourself preach, you're missing out on a lot, because newsflash, everyone in the church who is on at the church on Sunday morning is watching you preach. Mm-hmm. You're only able to listen to yourself. You're missing out on some things that you could see as far as improvement. And this is not to, I think I wrote an article about this, like when we first, right around the first week or two of the website that we started, rookiepreacher.com. I called it the sometimes scary thing we must do to improve our preaching. And mm-hmm. that is to watch ourselves. And if we can't watch ourselves, at least listen to yourself. But one of the things, when you just only listen to yourself, you miss out on those mannerisms that you may have, or the positive things when you see, oh, I actually did a gesture right there, and it was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So again, to be intentional, right? So those are five of them, and we have one more. The last one is movements. So if we're all standing on a stage, or if we're like Andy Stanley and really cool, we can be sitting. but how do you utilize movements to enhance your delivery? Like, what relevance does that have at all?
Well, if you have a pulpit or a stand and you're just standing behind it, then it's a form of monotone, because you're just standing in one place and people are just looking in one place. And yeah, that's all fine and good, but moving around can create some excitement too, just like your voice, you know, and finding different parts of the stage. Maybe, you know, especially if you're in a bigger auditorium, moving to the left to talk to some people, moving to the right to talk to some people, moving up front when you're making a point for everyone, you know, that you really want to drive home. But, you know, for me, you know, movement has, I've really had to address this, because my pulpit at the church I'm at right now is, if you're looking at the stage, it's all the way in the right corner. So like, really? So if I go to the pulpit, I'm not in the front and center, you know? So I kind of, if I'm making a point, I have to move away from the pulpit, which is good, I think, because it's helped me work on my movement and stuff like that. But say, you know, I mean, you can start walking somewhere if you're saying, you know, if you're telling a story and someone was going somewhere, just start walking, you know, or if you're, something happening fast, you can dart somewhere or slowly move somewhere, just kind of, you know, just different things to, just again, enhance the whole process that's going on there, the whole delivery of what you're doing. You know, it's kind of boring just to stand in one place. And really, to get the full effect of our movements, we have to be, know our notes, because it's not really looking good if you're carrying around a notebook around the stage or your iPad or whatever. So, you know, you have to kind of be off of that to take full effect of moving around the stage and connecting with people that way.
Yeah. I mean, that it takes a lot of hard work to be able to get to the point where you can actually utilize this thing, because so many times it's easy to start making a movement, and then you realize you're getting away from your notes, and you're like, oh, what am I supposed to say again? So you have to kind of like dart back
over there, to your notes.
Like, yeah, subtly, kind of like, hold on, let me do the moonwalk back to the pulpit.
Yeah, in my instance, it's at the far right end of the stage. So, yeah. Yeah, that happens every once in a while.
It's like you just kind of whistle while you go back over there. But one of the things that you can consider is, you know, obviously this has partly to do with like what kind of situation you have. Like, if you have a huge wooden pulpit,
that
you wish you could like take an axe to burn. You know, I know that was unholy, but just get over it. I use a music stand. I'd actually like to get a flat table.
Table.
Yeah.
So apron.
Yeah, that'd be sweet, but I don't have that. But I use a music stand, and so, but I put it to the side of my, like, of me, so that I can have free reign to move, right? Because the most authoritative spot on any stage is stage center, is like in the center of the stage to the front of the stage. So as you consider where you're going to move, that is the spot to go when you want to make sure everyone understands what it is that you're about to say. Like, that's the spot of authority. And so, you know, I'll try and move to that spot when I want to make a point. We meet in a gym of a high school. So, we do have, our setup is pretty wide. So we have, you know, like three sections of people. So I like to move and not even really walk anywhere, but maybe within, you know, like a 6 or 7 feet square. Cause we have like video, so I have to kind of like stay somewhat of an area. But to kind of like move your body to where you're addressing that specific area, or, when you're making a transition, I like to step back, or when you're about to tell a story, to kind of step back so that way people kind of know that, hey, I'm about to, this is something different, right? I mean, movements can be utilized in so many different ways. You mentioned like kind of darting to a different spot. Like I've done that before. I don't remember the context of it, but you know, just talking about something and like totally like moving really fast, to like one spot, or even like, you know, turning around and like walking away. If you're like illustrating something about walking away, I mean, you can do so many different things. And, you know, I think it's, again, it's being creative. It's being intentional. It's taking advantage of the opportunity that you have to not just stand in one place. Because I mean, when we're talking with friends, I mean, it's very rare that we just stand in one spot. I mean, we kind of naturally kind of shift and shuffle into different spots, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I think one person who does movement very well, is Craig Groeschel. And it's interesting because he always, like, he'll walk across the stage. And they have a huge stage at Life Church. And so he'll walk across one stage or one side, and then he'll walk back to the other, making a point to the people on that side. And then he'll look straight into the camera, you know, because they do all their online stuff. And so you know, he's very intentional about moving around. But you don't have to do it that much. It's just about moving some, like, go do something other than just stand there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it does take a lot to get to that point, because you have to walk away from your notes if you're still using notes.
Yeah. I've actually preached at two different churches where they made it impossible to move. The mic was in the pulpit. Like, they apparently didn't want you to move. Just stood there. It was really awkward because I'm used to it now. So I'm just like, I want to move and I can't.
That's when you just like move the microphone, like point it over.
Or just go off the mic.
Was it like one of those, like, as a part of the pulpit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you move that bad boy, it's gonna be loud.
Oh yeah.
It's
like, yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I would definitely, that would be annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like having a big wooden pulpit?
No.
I'm curious. Yeah, no. I don't either. I just feel like it's such a big barrier.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, oh, here's my time behind the pulpit, now here's my time out from the pulpit, and it's just an awkward transition sometimes, but, you know, some different context, you just got to put up with it, I guess.
Because some people really like the big wooden pulpit. Like, that's big. That's their thing.
Yeah, it's like, it gives them security, I think, almost, you know.
Well, I'm talking about, like, even the church members.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why. It's like, it was specifically designed and, you know, etched out of the wood and, I don't know, the wood from the, whatchamacallit, from the flood, the thing, you know, the big boat. What's it called? The Ark.
The Ark?
Jeez. Oh, Sonny, you can't get rid of this thing. It was from the Ark. From the flood.
I knew a preacher. They decided, okay, we're going to take the pulpit out now. They voted for it, took it out. He got there on Sunday, and some old guy had pulled the pulpit back up on the stage.
Did he push the pulpit off the stage when he was preaching?
No, I think I just took it back off.
I mean, I guess pulpits were nice when you were doing like the hellfire and brimstone preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, at least something to hit.
Mm-hmm.
You hit a bang, hit a
on the pulpit.
Yeah. If you pound the music stand, it'll break. Won't work very well.
Actually, if you pound my pulpit right now, it would fall apart because it's.
Hey, you might want to take advantage of that, dude.
Yeah, just knock it over.
Yeah, because you could just like get. I'm sorry, I was just getting really fired up about that.
Yeah.
So we took a little tangent. That's cool. So there you go. Beyond the words, 6 ways to enhance your delivery. Joe, any parting words, any parting wisdom as we wrap up this episode?
Completely unrelated to this, but go buy the new To Kill a Mockingbird sequel by Harper Lee. It's called To Set a Watchman. And I've got it on pre-order from Amazon, and it's not here yet, but I would think that's a worthy read for everybody if you remember To Kill a Mockingbird from high school.
I think that was one of those books that I was supposed to read, and I never read it, but I did the paper off of it. Like
missing out.
It's an all-time high school, classic. I never read in high school. Dude. I think I got out without reading a full book, except for like sports books. I could read like baseball. But yeah. That's good. I've heard a lot of good things about Tim Keller's new preaching book.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
I haven't got it yet, but I'm going to here soon. By the way, we had a cool shout-out from Preaching Donkey on their one of their podcasts on their one-year anniversary podcast. Did you hear that?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So thanks, Lane. Thanks for the shout-out. Here's your shout-out, preachingdonkey.com. So if you guys want to check that out, check them out. It's good stuff. I think with all of this, just be intentional. And if you want to check out these 6 things, and just remember if you forgot what one of them were, you can find that on rookiepreacher.com because we'll have them on the show notes. And so you can go back on that. We'd love to connect with you on Twitter at @rookie_preacher. And then also we have a Facebook group of almost 100 pastors now who have connected together. And it's just a good way it's a private group. So, you know, pastor to pastor, we can share, you know, frustrations if you have any, or of course you wouldn't be frustrated in a minute. You know that.
Never.
No. But, you know, if you have any prayer requests or you want to talk about something you're preaching about or something that you could use as far as a resource, we'd love to hear from you that. So you can connect with us there. If you go to rookiepreacher.com. Again, there's at the top right, it says connect with us. There's a Facebook emblem or icon, and you can click that and find the group and ask to join. We'll approve you and allow you to be part of that. It's a great time to be a community because we all need it. And we even wrote an article about it. 5 reasons we need community, because we wanted to promote that Facebook group because we want that to be a helpful resource for you. And again, if you have not subscribed yet to the email list, you are missing out because we are giving away 56 weeks of preaching topics. So if you are figuring out, you know, what the heck am I going to preach about this Sunday, I feel bad for you. But, you know, we put this resource in your hand if you subscribe. So 56 weeks, that's like what, a year and 4 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty legit. We did all the work for you. You just got to go preach it. It's just a topic. So, I mean, we put scriptures there and stuff too, but you got to actually do some work. We won't just hand everything on a silver platter for free. But yeah, so join the community. We would love to have you. And for Joe, I'm Brandon. We are so thankful that you decided to spend some time with us. Until next time, we'll see you and talk to you soon.